Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, I'm looking at three new movies about people who lie. There's a movie star who smiles for the cameras on screen and off, two witches and a wizard who hides behind his curtain, and a filmmaker who looks at what lies behind true crime documentaries. Jake Kelly, co-written and directed by Noah Baumbach. Jake Kelly, played by George Clooney, a major Hollywood star known for his action movies, is wrapping up the last scene of his latest film. He gets a few days off before starting his next feature, following a tribute to him in Tuscany, as his friend and manager Ron, played by Adam Sandler, keeps reminding him. But then a series of unfortunate events begins to occur. Ron tells him that Peter, played by Jim Broadbent, a noted director who launched Jay's career when he was just an acting student, has died. And his younger daughter, around the same time, his younger daughter says she's heading off to backpack and ride the rails in Europe before starting university in the fall, meaning his nest will soon be empty from now on. So when he runs into Tim, played by Billy Crudup, at Peter's funeral, a blast from the past we hadn't seen in decades, he decides to join him for a drink at one of their old L.A. haunts. Tim was a method actor, someone so good he could read a menu aloud in a way that would make you cry. But their drinks turn to fisticuffs when Tim blames Jay for stealing his first role, sleeping with his girlfriend, and generally ruining his life. Jay leaves the reunion with a black eye and Tim with a broken nose and a smoldering grudge. So Jay decides on a change of plan. He'll fly to Europe and surprise his daughter in Paris for some spontaneous fun. But nothing can really be spontaneous for an A-list movie star. Jay flies to Europe in his private jet with a huge entourage, including his manager, hairstylist, PA, bodyguard, and publicist, played by Laura Dern. But aside from his adoring fans, he can't seem to make friends, spend time with his family, or do anything of lasting value. What's a lonely, rich, and famous guy to do? Jay Kelly is a sardonic look at the hollowness of a Hollywood movie star's life. Jay Kelly seems to be modeled on George Clooney's own career. They even show clips from Clooney's past films at Jay Kelly's tribute, thus blurring the line between reality and fiction. Jay Kelly, the character, is always flashing his pearly whites, but seems to have no actual feelings behind it, just poses that either his director or his publicist tells him to do. The movie's not bad, but it's hard to have deep feelings about someone so fake, a character that only finds his true self on the silver screen. It's like he's always acting. The biggest surprise, though, is Adam Sandler in a serious role without any bombastic elements. He's actually good. So Jay Kelly is a cute, light story with a dark undertone. While not fantastic, it's still worth watching. Zodiac Killer Project, directed by Charlie Shackleton. Charlie Shackleton is a documentary filmmaker from the UK who is obsessed with the case of the Zodiac Killer. She was a notorious serial killer who murdered any number of victims in the 1960s around the San Francisco Bay Area, but was never caught. Part of his mystique were the many killings later attributed to him and a series of cryptic letters he sent to his victims and fans. Charlie wants to make a documentary based on a book by a policeman who once actually encountered the killer. But negotiations with the authors of the book falls through, thus killing any chance of making the Zodiac Killer doc he wants to make. Instead, he decides to make a doc about how he would have made the doc he can't make. Okay, so the movie ends up being a spoken word essay. Charlie's words throughout as he walks us through what he would have shot scene by scene. A road stop outside of San Francisco, an urban street corner in Vallejo, a modernistic suburban church. Mundane images all, but always accompanied by clanky music and his eerie descriptions of what eyewitnesses saw in their search for the Zodiac Killer. Added to this are short clips and commentary of other true crime docs, including films like Joe Berlinger and Bruce Sanofsky's Paradise Lost trilogy. That's about the three teenagers falsely accused of ritual child murder in West Memphis, Arkansas, which is a great series, by the way. But what Charlie points out is many true crime directors, and he talks about lots, manipulate viewers using music, camera work, and edited interviews to put the suspicion perhaps on someone the filmmakers want to blame, but who may or may not be responsible for the crime. And he calls into question the myth of the documentary director or filmmaker as an impartial observer rather than a biased manipulator of the truth. Zodiac Killer Project is not a normal movie by any stretch of the imagination, though it is pretty funny in parts. It's a filmmaker's monologue on what I think is a very interesting topic, that is, the deception and self-righteousness behind the entire genre of true crime. Accompanied by extended film clips, film images of frankly mundane locations. So if you're a cineast, a movie buff, a cinema study student, or a true crime fan, I think you'll like this one. I do. But if you go there expecting the bread and butter of the true crime media, the titillating images, the exploitational gross-outs, or the self-righteous harumphing about the killer's innate barbarism, you ain't gonna find it here. Wicked for Good, directed by John M. Chu. It's another day in the land of Oz, but things have changed drastically over the past few years. Elphaba, played by Cynthia Erivo, has been in hiding ever since a massive government propaganda campaign has labeled her the Wicked Witch of the West. Her former best friend Glinda, played by Ariana Grande, is a figurehead who appears before the public in a mechanical bubble. She has no real magic, but her real job is to keep the peasants calm. She publicly professes her love for handsome Prince Fierro, played by Jonathan Bailey, a captain in the army, but he pines only for the green-faced Elphaba. And Elphaba's little sister, Nessa Rose, played by Marissa Bode, is now an autocratic governor, passing vindictive laws. But Nessa, too, suffers from setbacks. Her longtime companion, the munchkin Buck, played by Ethan Slater, has had enough of her. He's secretly in love with Glinda. And under the direction of the two scheming bullies with the only real power holders in this world, the Wizard of Oz, played by Jeff Goldblum, and Madame, played by Michelle Yeoh, Oz is passing ever more draconian laws, including the stripping of all rights from animals who once lived and worked side by side with humans. So will Elphaba and Glinda ever be friends again? Can they stop the wizard's nefarious plans? And who will Prince Fierro choose to marry? Wicked for Good is part two of the film adaptation of the hit Broadway musical. It's an intriguingly revisionist version of the original Wizard of Oz story. Dorothy and the Cowardly Lion et al. Appear, but only as insipid background characters. The Wizard of Oz is a bad guy. The Wicked Witch of the West is a potential heroine. It's 2.5 hours long, but never boring, including three new songs by Stephen Schwartz that weren't in the original play. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of that genre of music, but Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande's voices are a pleasure to listen to, regardless of the song. It's visually dead on, from the artificial candy color palette of the Emerald City to cute and rustic Munchkin Land. And I love the Art Deco steampunk machinery that pops up everywhere. It's exquisite. Great production values all around, sets, costume, elaborate dance numbers, and of course, the flying monkeys. It does feel like the second part of a two-act play following a year-long intermission, and it is a much darker ride than last year's Wicked, but I still enjoyed it. J. Kelly, Wicked for Good, and Zodiac Killer Project are all playing now in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.